Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heck.
I'm Jones.
And I'm Parker, I think.
Okay, so today's topics, we're actually doing this podcast a little early because we said we'd do a podcast as soon as we all saw Han Solo, a solo story, Star Wars.
A solo story?
Yeah, so this is kind of, you know, our special Han Solo episode. Also, Jones, you said you wanted to talk about Infinity War, the movie?
Yeah, I figured we both saw that. I guess Parker didn't, but he doesn't care, so...
That's a Marvel movie.
Sure.
Well,
also, I'd like to talk about God of War, which I have finished since the last podcast.
Yes.
And then the other topic Jones wanted to talk about was internet spoilers.
Yeah, it's kind of how the internet damages the film-going experience.
Like how it spoiled the cameo or the
yes.
Surprise person at the end of
spoiler-ridden podcast, by the way. So
I think by now people would know that the Ben Heck podcast is just spoiler alert.
Well, we should still put the disclaimer out there, but I would agree.
Spoiler alert would be a good name for a podcast.
Kind of would. There probably is one called that.
Okay, so this Han Solo movie, it had... Oh, you're looking it up, aren't you?
I am.
What are we looking up? How much money it made?
No.
The spoiler alert podcast. Yeah, it exists.
Of course it exists. You know, we were looking for a cat eye patch the other day at work, and that does not exist.
Really? That's kind of shocking, actually.
Unfortunately, spoileralert.com is taken, and it's like monitoring your refrigerator.
Oh, that's good.
Or like your inventory.
Clever.
Yeah.
So, Han Solo, the movie, they were filming it last summer. Then they had it like 90% done, and then they fired the directors, then brought in Ron Howard, and he refilmed about 70% of it.
Yep. Yeah.
So, that was kind of, you know, basically it's more famous for its production than anything, kind of like Cleopatra.
Justice and it finally, League.
Yeah. There's a lot of comparison to Justice League. Anyway, it came out this weekend. We've all seen it, so we're going to talk about how we felt. And we should probably also talk about the Last Jedi backlash and its effect on the box office.
Yes. So Ben and Parker, I saw it today, like 6 hours-ish ago.
And Parker, you saw what, Thursday night?
Yep, Thursday. Well, Thursday at 8 p.m., which is kind of... They keep pushing, like, the opening day time lower and lower.
It's like how Black Friday is like an entire week.
Yeah. Because usually it was like midnight on like Thursday was like the thing, or Friday.
Yeah. And
but now it's like, you can see it at 8 p.m. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I get to go get home and go to sleep early.
Yeah, exactly. It's more convenient. And that still counts as Friday gross.
Yeah, which is just stupid. Makes
that's
no
why,
sense.
Like if you see like, oh, Han Solo made $34 million on Friday, it's like, actually, it made 14 of that on Thursday.
Thursday night,
and only made like 20 million on Friday.
Yeah. So when you saw it, Parker, how many people were there?
It was full.
Oh, it was. Okay. All right.
And the there was a showing right afterwards, and the lobby was completely full for that one.
Interesting.
Yeah, when we saw it, it was, God, what?
Maybe 15, 20 people in there?
Yeah. Maybe. And that was even in a smaller theater with all the recliners, so...
Yeah.
It was not... Yeah,
there
it was pretty
empty. I'd say there were about as many people in the theater today for Solo as there were yesterday when I saw Infinity War, which is in what, it's like...
Ouch.
Fourth week?
Oh, it's more like the fifth or sixth week.
Fifth?
Yeah.
I saw... Yeah, let's see, it's like one, two, three, four... fifth week. I saw Infinity War last week, and the theater was pretty much full.
Yeah,
I think they released this on like a really high number of screens, like 4,300 or something.
Yep.
So, yeah. Well, maybe we should talk about what we felt about it first.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's basically it's like Jesus. It's being whipped for what someone else did.
Yeah. What did you think, Parker?
I think it's up there with one of my favorite Star Wars movies. It's better than Rogue One was one of my favorite movies, and Ben. And I think this was better than Rogue One because the problem with Rogue One is the beginning is slow, but this was just none of that.
Yeah, it was pretty consistent. If anything, I thought it slowed down a little bit at the end, like after they do the Kessel Run, and then they are like at that desert planet, and they're like,
You're right. But it's like it makes sense at that point because like the big thing happened, and now they're kind of just wrapping it up.
I sat there and I kept waiting. I'm like, when is this going to start sucking? You know,
I was thinking the exact same thing. I was like, when is this going to turn into like The Last Jedi?
For me, It was going along pretty good, and then that stupid robot showed up. That robot drove me nuts.
So I didn't have any problem with the robot.
Well, I was glad when it fucking died.
Did it drive you nuts because it was just like, it was like what, social justice warrior robot?
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, to me, like, it just reminded me of the movie Crash that came out whenever the hell it was, like 2005 or something, and won the Academy Award. It's just like not subtle at all. I mean, I don't mind putting that sort of stuff in a movie, but it's like you don't need to club me over the head with it.
See, I didn't
like Crash
get that.
Crash sat there for the whole movie being like, racism is bad, club, 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 constantly. And like that's what this freaking droid was the whole time. It was just like it was preaching like constantly.
See, I don't know.
I don't know if I would use the word preach.
It wasn't like I'll put it this way, compared to the casino scene in The Last Jedi, where like rich people are bad and we're Hollywood directors that are, you know, making
rich.
Tons of money.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I thought this was way heavier handed than that. I mean, that was
really
shit. That was shit too, but this droid was just obnoxious.
So
probably because it verbalized it all instead of just doing it visually.
I think they could have
the robot should have just sucked off Lando instead of just talking about it.
Well, I'm just saying, it's like I think it was just more obnoxious because it's like you're sitting there, you're in like because the movie was just kind of cooking along, doing good, then it's all of a sudden like, you know, here now this shit just gets thrown in your face. You know, it's like it's supposed to be like escapism, and then it's like, oh, here comes Kathleen Kennedy with her message she has to jam into everything. And I don't know, it bugged me. And it's like there's a way to like subtly do those things. They don't seem to know how to do like subtle with these Disney Star Wars movies. That's pretty clear.
I would say that it was at least confined to one character.
Yeah, and gladly it died. So
Yeah. And maybe that's why they announced that his character was pansexual, cuz I'm sure back in 1980, you know, Lawrence Kasdan had that in mind. He's like, oh yeah, this guy's pansexual. Of course. Yeah,
that term didn't even exist back then, I don't think.
But
maybe
it was because he wanted to, like, you know, prepare people like, oh, he's gonna be amorous for his robot.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to, like, kind of set people up to explain that.
So I didn't even think he even needed that, though. It was like, why did they have to even explain that before?
Well, it was more like his robot wanted him more than anything. Like,
well, he cried for the robot when the robot.
Yeah, that was weird. It's like,
yeah, there
that
was
makes
a
sense.
Some weird stuff. I mean, it was like that stuff. I don't know. It was, yeah, I don't know. It just felt really forced. Maybe that's the better way to put it. Is it was just.
I think
like,
they should have set it up a little better. They should have been like, she's got the navigational computer in her or whatever, which I think was the point.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like all the goofy shit just with like, I mean, it's like this droid with a female voice that has like wide childbearing hips, and then they're like talking about like, you know, all this stuff where she's like, oh, well, you know, girl to girl, and, you know, Lando is into me, but I'm not into him. And that stuff didn't even bug me that much. It was more like the droid rights and Libertad and like all this
shit. Oh, I thought that was freaking hilarious.
Ugh.
Yeah, I liked it when when she was freeing the robots.
A little would have went a long way there. It was just, like, constant. It's like, we fucking get it.
I mean, I would say that the character bordered on parody. Yeah. And I highly doubt that was the intention, although Lando does like roll his eyes at some of the things she says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really thought it was, when I saw it, I thought it was a parody type character. And I don't, yeah, I would agree with Ben, that's probably not what they were going for, but that's what happened.
There's no way.
Well,
she wasn't really a feminist robot. She was more like an equal rights robot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's like I have no problem with that in theory. It's just like you're getting like clubbed over the head with this shit.
Although, did you notice, for as progressive as I guess they wanted that to be, the movie does not pass the Bechdel test, because when the robot is talking to Emilia Clarke, they're talking about a man.
Yeah.
You've heard of that, right, in screenwriting?
No.
This is thing is called the Bechdel test. I think it's like based off like some humorist or something. And it's like if is there a movie, is there more than one woman in it? Do the women talk to each other? And when they talk to each other, do they talk about something other than a man?
Oh, yeah.
And very few movies actually pass that test.
Hmm.
I mean, basically it's kind of like a thought experiment to show that usually in movies, women are just there to, like, you know, be in love with the men or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, the fact that, like, a major crux of the movie was that, you know, Han Solo liked Emilia Clarke's character.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought that was refreshing, because I think all of the Disney Star Wars movies have been, like, sexless, and there's no relationships, and I'm glad there was one.
Well, yeah, it was great, too, like, in that earlier scene, you know, with, like, Beckett and Val. Like, they actually, like, kiss. You know, they're, like, they're not even, like, the core characters, but, like, they kiss. And then there's,
around the campfire.
Yeah, and then later on, you know, like, Kira and Han kiss and stuff like that, too, you know. And, I mean, that's the thing. You go back to, like, the core of Star Wars, you know, it's the fantasy, you know, boy trying to rescue the princess type thing and all that.
Kissing her sister.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, like, at the core in the beginning, you know, it was that ancient fairy tale type thing of rescuing the princess, and then it's like, oh, the princess can actually kick ass and fend for herself. Okay, cool, you know. So it kind of played with that archetype a little bit, which was, you know, cool and made it stand out. And the same thing, you know, goes on in this movie. Like, you know, it sets it up like, oh, Han's going to have to go and, you know, rescue her from Corellia, you know, years later, but then it turns out she's kind of out on her own, doing her own thing, angles.
She got involved with Vision.
Yes, which never turns out well. So,
yeah, just ask Scarlet Witch.
Yep. Oh, and it had a good villain. I liked, like, Paul Bettany's, I can't remember the name of the character now, something with a...
Scar Man.
Something like Voss or whatever. But
Voss sounds right.
But he was, like, good and menacing, kind of refreshing.
And his character was really interesting, like, how he swayed between almost his dual personalities, almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really well done, how he...
Well, he was very psychotic.
Yeah, which was kind of...
Portrayed really well.
Yeah, it was kind of refreshing to see a character like that instead of just... No, I don't know what we've been given so far, which is kind of the
boring. And then at the end, Dragon Lady takes his ship.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She's not, like, holy good. Like, well, no one's holy good. Like, there's, like, all those double crosses at the end.
Yep.
Which was pretty cool. Yeah, so it kind of, you know, you have the big climax with the escape from the zone or whatever they did. And then...
The mall.
Yeah, the movie kind of winds down with just a bunch of double crosses, but that is a refreshing way for a movie to end. I just think it could have ended a little faster.
Yeah.
I loved it when they get there, and it's like, well, that's why the Millennium Falcon looks like shit.
Yep.
I mean, it looks even worse at the end of this movie. Like, it just gets the shit beat out of it.
Yeah, it's funny, like, they land the thing, and, like, the front, like, lift isn't even up, so the thing's just, like, planted on its nose, and then, like, Han and Lando are, like, looking at it, and the thing just, yeah, it looks like it's all beat to hell and all that, and of course, it loses the dish again. Like, I think it was in the Kessel Run or something, it lost the dish during that.
Yep.
But, like, for me, it was going along pretty good, then that stupid shit with the droid showed up that just kind of... Just for me, it, like, took me out of the movie. Like, it sucked. I was going along, like, oh, this is fun, whatever, and then that just happened, and it just felt off. But then it died, and then it kind of came back, and then it was pretty good again through the to the end. So,
the only one part of the movie that took me out was, this is my only like, kind of like plot hole, I guess, is like when Solo finds Chewbacca in that pit, and it's like, why does Han know how to speak Wookiees or whatever it's called?
Yeah, I didn't really understand that either, like why he would just happen to know how to
speak
Wookiee. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like that was like the only thing in the movie they didn't explain of like his backstory.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think they overexplained his backstory too much. I think a better question is like, if Chewie can understand English or whatever they call it in that universe.
Yeah.
I mean,
common.
Why did he have to speak it at all? Basic is what it's called.
Basic, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, if Chewie can understand that, then wouldn't he respond to everyone that pleaded for their life that got thrown in there?
You would think, yeah.
Well, maybe the fact that Han could understand him was enough.
Yeah, maybe he was like, oh, okay, this one's different. I won't rip this one's arms off. Which was awesome, finally seeing Chewbacca do that.
Yes.
And getting him to see he kicked some ass at points, too, which was fun. Like, there was a lot of Chewbacca in it, which was one of my favorite things.
I think it was one of my favorite jokes is when he pulls the arms off the guard, and Han's like, I was going to wear that uniform.
Yeah, that uniform would have fit me. Well, I also liked at the end when he's got Woody Harrelson at gunpoint, and Woody Harrelson is like talking, he's gonna pull out the gun. Yep. And you see that in every movie, like someone's got someone at gunpoint, and for some reason they allow the other person to get the drop on them for some dumb reason, but nope, Han shoots him.
Shoots first. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that was awesome.
And that's the first time we see Han kill someone, I think, in the movie.
Oh, I'm directly. Sure he killed plenty of people in that movie.
Yeah, I know, but like directly like that.
So that's the thing, like you just Parker, you said you liked it more than Rogue One, right?
Yes.
And so I did not like Rogue One, but I know a lot of people did. So I think like this movie, I think people would like it, but it's paying for The Last Jedi. I mean, it's unfairly being punished. I mean, I thought it was a hell of a lot better than Rogue One.
I think it's the best new Star Wars movie that's out.
I still prefer Rogue One to it, but like for me, it solidified the new rule, like the old even-odd Star Trek rule. Like basically for Star Wars under Disney, saga movies bad, story movies good. Like that seems to be the rule. We're four movies in and that pattern is emerging. So
right, because even if you know Han Solo and Chewie are going to live, like you don't know what's going to happen to the Queen of Dragons or Cheers.
Or
Thandie Newton.
Yep.
So if you bring in other characters that people like, and then more like KSO or whatever that robot was named,
K2SO.
You know, you can have drama that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the pilot guy with the arms. I thought he was cool, and then he died.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I thought he seemed like a nice guy.
Actually, that whole crew is actually their characters are really well put together because like. You only know them for, like, what, 15 minutes, if that?
Yeah, maybe.
At least I did. I cared about them. Like, I'm like, oh, that sucks that the alien dude's dead now.
Yeah, they did a good job. I mean, you know, they had the campfire scene. You could see, like, the camaraderie of the characters. You know, you could see that they cared for each other, which helps make you care about them. You know, like, they just took the time to put that stuff in there, and, you know, it pays off, so... but yeah, I mean, I was definitely one of the skeptical people. Like, I mean, even after seeing it, I'm still like, it's a movie that doesn't need to exist, but you know, whatever it's entertaining and fun. I mean, it does remove some of the mystery of Han, but you know, whatever. It's, far better than I ever thought it would be. So.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's pretty much the consensus. Like, now that people have seen it, they're like, hey, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is, like, you know, will it have legs? Because its opening is, like, pretty bad.
Yeah, it's basically, like, disastrous opening.
Well, we could create alternate energy. We could just hook up motors to Disney's PR department and use the spin to power several cities. I mean, they were spinning Last Jedi up a storm.
Yeah.
Making loads of money.
Yeah, I've never seen a movie so justified before. Like, so much defense of it from various movie sites, you know, the director, whatever. But
the only Last Jedi.
Yeah. The only other thing I thought dumb in Solo, but I'm like, whatever, is the part where they reveal how he got his surname.
Oh, like, I love that part. I thought that was really good.
God, it was stupid. Because I'm just like, why the hell would he then be like, hey, yeah, I'm just going to use that for my name for the rest of my life. Some Imperial guy decided my last name is Solo.
I thought I liked that part. So
I audibly groaned in the theater when that happened. But it's like, compared to like shit that went on in Last Jedi and Force Awakens, like my problems with this movie are minor in comparison.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I wish we got to see a little bit of the 3 years where Solo is like training in the Imperial Navy, I think is what, no, Air Force or whatever the hell it's called. But, you know, whatever. We don't need to see that.
It's kind of inconsequential. I mean, the only thing we would have seen is like, oh, here's where he learned how to be a pilot, but...
And how to shoot a gun and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked, like, Emilia Clarke in it. I thought she was really good. I thought, like, Alden Ehrenreich, like, he was perfectly fine as Han, like...
Yeah.
I thought that was the... he did a really good job portraying... Like, because I was, when they announced this movie, I was thinking, no one can replace the actor, and it worked really good. I think he had the right, he had the smirk, and that's what sold it.
He made it his own. Like, he didn't try to, like, parody.
Impersonate Harrison Ford, like, the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing, like, a lot of people have been raving about Donald Glover, and I mean, he's all right in it, but it's like, really, he's essentially doing like a Billy Dee Williams
impression.
You know, like, whereas Ehrenreich kind of tried to just do his own thing, try to capture the tone of the character.
Yeah.
But he didn't sit there and try to, like, do an impression of Harrison Ford.
Well, it's because people love Donald Glover and they don't give a rat's ass about Alden Ehrenreich.
True, yeah.
I mean, that's what they're judging how they like the person, not the performance.
Yeah.
I mean, I never understood why Lando was so cool either. I also don't understand Boba Fett. I don't understand a lot of Star Wars.
I mean, Boba Fett looks cool, but yeah, I never really understood why there was like this big cult following that emerged of him.
Yeah, especially since in like the original, the OG series, he gets his ass kicked like in that movie by accident.
Yeah, I mean,
he gets,
he's
pushed into the
by
pit?
A blind man. Yeah, but
it's all right. I'm much better now.
But he's like, I mean, he's, you know, fairly menacing, I would say, in Empire Strikes Back. So you don't really know much about him. You're just like, okay, here's this like bounty hunter. He actually has like the brass to like go up and talk to Vader. Like, he's not intimidated by Vader, which I guess we probably hadn't really seen a character not be intimidated by Vader to that point. I guess Lando steps up to him a little bit too, but you know, but then yeah, in Jedi he just, you know, goes out like a bitch basically. So
I want Jar Jar to come back. I mean, Darth Maul came back, so why not Jar Jar?
Damn right. Telling you, that Jar Jar redemption movie, it's just waiting to be made.
Yep.
Print all the money. But yeah, the cameo was cool, and that's the thing that's
what
sad.
What cameo are we talking about?
Darth Maul.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, that's the thing that saddens me about how poorly Solo is doing, is it's like, odds are we're not going to get a sequel. But like, they're talking about, you know, which again, go back a couple of weeks, I would not be saying these words, but I can admit I'm wrong sometimes, so... but yeah, like, Dragon Woman's gonna go off to Dathomir, which that's pretty cool, because that's where, like, the Night Sisters are from, you know, it's like Maul's homeworld and all that, like, there's cool lore stuff there.
Yeah. How do you know all this?
because I am a Star Wars geek. So even in spite of what Disney has done to it so far.
You were saying earlier that you actually want to see where this story goes, unlike after Episode 8.
Yes. Yeah, I would be perfectly fine if they didn't even make Episode 9 at this part at this point. It's like, I just don't even give a shit anymore. It's like,
yeah,
they just really screwed the pooch with Last Jedi, like, big time. And Force Awakens had its own misfires, but it's like, they could still recover from that. But, like, Jedi, they really, really made a mess of things with that movie.
Well, I don't think it's just... I mean, yeah, we talk about, like, misfires in like The Force Awakens. Like, I think it gets really boring once Han Solo shows up and stuff. But everyone loved it, and the directors in the studios didn't make fun of the fans for not liking it. I mean,
yes, yeah.
I think that Disney can spin it all they want and be bullies on Twitter, but they're the fans. Like, the reason Star Wars is worth money is because people will go to see anything with the word Star Wars on it.
Yep.
That's what you bought. You weren't buying Lucasfilm, you were buying the fans. And if they sit there and, like, piss on the fans, it's no. And, well, you know, if they all the and the fans are older, you know, like, you know, people in their 40s, you know, they're not all into all this, you know, political nonsense. Or if they are, they're more conservative. So,
well, and that's the thing, like, you look at the box office results, and so, like, they're already trying to, you know, you can see all these sites spinning or whatever, and it's like, you know, they're
they got to make sure they get their premiere tickets for Episode 9. They gotta, spin to win.
You know, it's like, there's all sorts of factors in it, but it's like, you know, they can talk about, like, oh, you know, there's too many movies, you know, there's too much competition, which, you know, that'll eat into it a bit. But, I mean, this thing, like, underperformed globally by, like, half of what they were anticipating. And so it's like that happens due to other reasons, like pissing off your fan base. Like, because those are the people, like Ben said, you throw Star Wars on the thing, those people turn out. But when you sit there and take them for granted and shit all over them when they don't like something you did, it's like, well, guess what? This weekend they're speaking with their wallet.
Yeah, we did our box office movie bet for this, and it was over and under 115.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was like, I'll probably win, but I didn't think I'd win this badly.
Yeah. And it's too bad because, yeah, like, basically, like you said earlier, Solo is essentially paying for the sins of The Last Jedi. Like, you know, this is the next one in the hopper, and it gets to pay, kind of like Justice League paid for Batman v Superman. I guess Wonder Woman managed to sneak in between, but...
But even with, like, Justice League, it's like, everyone loved Wonder Woman. Like, why didn't they go to Justice League?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it opened about as well as Wonder Woman, but it didn't have the legs. I mean, it wasn't as good as Wonder Woman.
Yeah, well, and Justice League and Solo, they have really strong parallels. You know, they had these troubled productions. They were kind of, like, almost reshot twice. They were pushed out too soon. They, you know, severely underperformed box office projections for their opening weekends. You know, it's just a lot of parallels between them.
Yeah, like when they were first talking about, like, the Solo, they're like, oh, it's going to open to a record 170. Opening weekend, but they were talking a 4-day, so even then they knew it was going to do worse than Rogue One, because a 174 day would be like probably like a 140
maybe.
Yeah, what, less than Rogue One, because Rogue One's a 3-day, but now it's like, I didn't think it would open this poorly.
Surprised.
I was expecting it to be really bad, because when I was at work, I mentioned it to everyone at work, and everyone's like, there's a new Star Wars movie coming out? Like, that was... No one knew that this movie at work was coming out.
That's hard to believe, because I've seen shit tons of ads for it on the internet.
Yeah. That's true, though. Like, I didn't hear anybody at work, like, saying a peep about this movie last week, and I work with a lot of, like, Star Wars fans, but again... These people on the internet, they like to sit there and pretend that it was a vocal minority that did not like The Last Jedi. but real world evidence for myself says otherwise. Like, I know easily more than half the people I know that saw Last Jedi did not like it at all. And a lot of those people were at work.
It's at best divisive. You know, it's kind of like politics. It's like, it's about 50-50.
Yeah, yeah.
I only know one person that liked The Last Jedi. So
I know a couple. I can think of
I know
three.
A couple, too. Yeah.
Well, and that's fine if they like it. The thing is, you have to admit that it also pissed off a lot of people. I mean, I think it's cool that they sort of tried new things with it, but there's a lot of things about it that were just bad filmmaking, I think.
Or just bad plot.
Yeah, just not really well thought out. So, do you think Disney's going to like lay the smackdown on Lucasfilm? Because think about it, if you're Disney, you look at your Marvel acquisition, and then you look at Star Wars, and how the Star Wars movies, they make big money, but like their productions have been a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, like, and you see people online that, again, they just look at pure numbers and don't really think. You know, they're like, oh, well, you know, Disney's already got their money, you know, they've had this much in box office.
No, they don't. That's spin.
And it's like, no, they don't, because like I was saying to you just a little while ago, I was reading about Rogue One online, and it's like, that movie made over $1 billion, like, globally, but like, when you factor in production costs, marketing, all the other shit, it turned a profit of about $300 million.
Right, which means you need to do about 11 of those before you get your purchase price back.
Yeah, yep. I mean, obviously, Force Awakens did way better than that. Like, it probably made $1 billion in profit or something.
And nobody buys toys anymore, so that chestnut's gone. I mean, 20 years ago or 30 years ago, you know, that would have been more valuable than the movies themselves. The toys, not anymore.
That's probably also why they're pumping these things out so goddamn fast, is because they're trying to get their money back as quick as possible. But, you know, you look at Star Wars, and it's like, you know, we went, like, what, 38 years with 6 movies, you know, until Disney came along.
And now there's one every year.
Yeah, we've had 4 in the last, like, since Force Awakens came out, you know, whatever, it's been 3 years or whatever, we've had 4 movies already.
I mean, how can there not be fatigue? I mean, I know Marvel makes like 2 or 3 movies a year, but those seem like they're kind of part of a overarching story and they're all connected.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of these Star Wars movies are very dissonant from each other.
Well, the thing with Marvel too is it's like, yeah, like you said, they're part of like this whole, but they're all kind of doing their own thing. Like, there might be some people that are like, eh, I don't really like Thor. You know, they don't go and see the Thor movies, but they like Captain America. You know, or they like Iron Man, so they see those. Yeah. And then there's, you know, there's some people that like them all, and they go to all of them. But there's kind of something for everybody.
And the Marvel movies do not fill themselves with politics and then complain when people complain about the politics. It's like, I think I made this note to the other day to you, like, you know, all the Avengers were making, like, political videos, but it wasn't in the movie, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If John Favreau write speeches for Obama, but it's not in the movie. You know, it's separate.
And the thing the thing is, they can still make their commentary about things. You know, like in the Civil War movie, you know, there was commentary in there. You know, they didn't club you over the head, but it's like the central conflict is about, you know, them needing to register or not, and that's what splits the team, because, you know, Captain America's like, bullshit. You know, and I mean, that is like a political type thing, but they're not.
Yeah, but it's a political statement, but it's more of a global, universal political statement.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's not like, hey, we need to build a wall to stop Thanos. No, I'm against this. No, we shouldn't have a wall.
Yes, exactly.
Like, it wasn't like hitting things on, like, you know, hitting you over the head with things.
Yeah, it's not focused at a point in time. It's just like the X-Men movies. You know, the X-Men movies, that's their whole thing, too. They deal with, you know, kind of like discrimination and things like that. And that's, you know, part of their core. But, you know, it fits because that's basically what those characters were born out of.
It fits the theme of the movie.
You know, so, I don't know. It's kind of be interesting, because now we've got a year and a half until the next ones. I mean, they do have some breathing room, but it's going to be interesting. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's going to be very interesting. I know we already talked about this, but to see, in light of this, how heavily, like, Abrams course corrects Episode 9.
What's going to happen at the beginning of Episode 9 is
Rey handing Luke the lightsaber again. They just pretend 8 never happened.
But she's going to wake up on the island and be like, oh, I dreamed all that. It's a nightmare. She's, like, sweating.
And then Luke's like, oh, are you ready for your training today? Like,
then he actually trains her.
Yes.
And she actually learns some things.
Yep. Yeah. And she grows as a character.
Yeah.
So everyone is blaming Kathleen Kennedy for this. I mean, what do you think, Jones?
I think, you know, a lot of these things, the buck stops with her, you know, like, that you've had all these. She's the head of Lucasfilm.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you know, they have all these problems. Like, I mean, how many directors have they fired or had to, like, relieve of responsibilities in some way?
Over half, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like they hire the Lego movie guys.
Yep.
And then they're like, oh, the writer doesn't like the fact you're improvising, you're fired, even though you've shot 90% of the movie. It's like, shouldn't you make that decision? Like, when Marvel does fire directors, they do it before the movie starts shooting.
Yeah, like Ant-Man was...
And Patty Jenkins was fired from Thor 2.
Yeah, that's right, yep. And, but yeah, they... Because, yeah, they've had all these director problems, all these, like, social message things, which a lot of the times that stuff doesn't bug me. Like, that robot just bugged the shit out of me, because it was just so rampant, but it's like... you know, I mean, that stuff's got to be coming from somewhere, because that's one of the few universal themes through these movies, is like that sort of stuff showing up.
Who's controlling that?
Kennedy, I would think. I mean, ultimately, she's the head of Lucasfilm. You know, this stuff, you know, stops at her desk, like it, you know. So, and the thing with her, too, is, you know, you look at her career and you're like, oh, wow, you know, she's got quite the career. She's very prolific. But then if you look closer, it's like, like 50%+ of her, like, filmography is related to Spielberg in some way. So it's like, was she really successful, or was she just happened to be involved in successful things? Because guess what? Steven Spielberg... Steven Spielberg and very talented and
well, I'm sure she's good as a producer.
I don't know, is she? Like, look at these movies. These are the things that she's like kind of having to do all on her own, where a lot of this other stuff.
Well, when they did start their own company, Kennedy and Marshall, one of the first movies they made was Congo.
Yeah.
So maybe you're onto something. But then, I mean, she was a producer on, like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark and stuff. I mean,
but again, that's
like Hollywood royalty.
I mean, again, that's like Spielberg and Lucas were the ones that, like, developed that whole thing. She just happens to get the producing credit on it. But, I mean, those guys are the ones driving the bus. You know, it's like one of the few things I saw with her where I'm like, oh, okay, maybe she had a hand in that, was The Sixth Sense, because she was the producer on that. She produced Signs, Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Although, again, you know, it's like Fincher making it, you know, it's, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's just when you see that, like, the majority of her background, it's like, oh, look, Spielberg was involved in, like, all these things. It's like, okay, how much did she actually do? Like, and I'm not trying to dismiss her. Maybe, like you say, she's very good at, like, certain pieces, but now she's having to do, like, all these things. You know, and maybe she's not strong in certain areas.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it seemed like a great fit.
But yeah.
These movies, even if you don't talk about, like, how people hated Last Jedi or they don't like the politics of it, the productions of these movies have been pretty bad. I mean,
yeah,
pretty.
You had, yeah, I mean, you know, 50% of the movies have required massive reshoots. And I know a lot of people, like the online pundits, who are all idiots that can't do math, they'll be like, oh, who cares how much it costs as long as the movie's good? It's like, well, I don't know, maybe the shareholders, who could include you if you have a 401k. I mean, this is people's money. I mean, that's their shareholders.
Yep.
Like, that's your money. Like, you know, if – and another thing people need to realize, like, you know, everyone just loves to, like, worship Disney for some reason. It's like Apple. It's like a cult company.
Mm-hmm.
But right now they're not doing so good. I mean, like ESPN is like an albatross hanging around their neck and dragging them down, and stuff like this isn't going to be very good. So like, yeah, Avengers is doing really well, but I don't know. It's not all roses, and I think there'll be hard questions asked here very soon.
Yeah,
the show host is going to be like, look, what the hell is going on? Like, because if you think, look at the Marvel movies, like they're trending up.
Yeah,
Star Wars is trending down.
Well, yeah, you look at Black Panther. I mean, that was just like a solo movie.
Yep.
They probably thought, oh, if it does 700-800 million, we're probably doing pretty damn good. And it's made what, like 1.3, 1.4, like globally, yep, somewhere in there. I mean, it's like, yeah, what, the third or fourth biggest movie of all time domestically. I mean,
Avengers has done like almost 2 billion.
Yeah, it's going to be what, the fourth movie to hit 2 billion, it looks like, globally.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like they just
now I know I say, you know, Marvel is like kind of bland and safe, you know, it's like the Applebee's of filmmaking, but it is consistent, and you know, it's show business, not show art. And it's, yeah, like, hey, look, a Marvel movie, it'll make good money. It's not going to rock the boat. The director's not going to call the fans, you know, idiots in their mom's basement.
Yep.
And it will deliver consistent returns on investment.
Yeah, people like, know, they see that logo on a movie, they're like, oh, I can expect to be entertained.
Yep.
And, you know, get value for my money, and I can take my kids to it or whatever, you know, it might be. And
then, you know, people have said, you know, like the women are not represented well in Marvel movies. And yeah, I mean, there aren't that many female characters, but people still go to the movies. It's like,
yeah,
like people, that's the thing. I don't think people go to a movie expecting to see like a diversity quota. They just want to see a good movie.
Yep. Yeah.
And if it's a good movie with an African cast, great. Or mm-hmm. if, you know, yeah, there's only two women, I mean, okay. You know, it doesn't have to like meet a quota. And
I mean, it's like even with just the Saga movies, like I've said many times, like I have like zero problem with like Rey and having the lead be a woman. It's like, it's just, they've taken the easy way out with her character at every turn, and she's just not interesting because of that. It's like,
right,
you know, put her through some like trials and, you know, test now, her and stuff.
I guess the question is, are they not doing that because of her sex?
I don't know, but it's like she's perfectly capable. It's like, to me, that's kind of insulting, you know, if they don't do it because, you know, like she...
Well, they had Force Awakens. People said that she was a Mary Sue, basically like a character that has no flaws and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, okay, now that's one of those things, like if you even say that word to certain people, you'll totally trigger them.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
you got to be careful when you say that too. But then it's like, okay, you're saying that she's not that. Prove us wrong in the second movie.
Yeah.
And instead they prove people right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, she doesn't lose an arm. She doesn't like fall down a pit. She doesn't get beat up by a snow monster. She goes through no adversity whatsoever. She beats up Luke.
Yeah.
She picks up rocks. And it's like, this character sucks. She's like,
oh, she's like not having to go through any... tempted by like the dark side, or like when she meets Ben on Snoke's ship.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, we're going to have some tension here. And she's just like, eh, no, I don't care.
Yeah, what if she would have, like, joined him?
Yeah, it's like, then we'd have something interesting going on, but it's just mm-hmm. like, she's just like, nah.
See, that's why Kylo Ren is more interesting, because he's kind of grayish, you know?
Yeah, he's conflicted.
He has facets to his character, like, you know, he's, like, obsessed with the past, he's impulsive, you know, Rey is just, like, too, like, goody two-shoes.
Well, and like with Kylo, too, like, he had that moment where he could have blown his mom away. He doesn't do it. You know, like, he has moments like that where, you know, he has to make choices and, you know, they affect
Rey
him.
Rey never has to make a choice.
Yeah, and so, and that's what's just frustrating to me, is it's like, she could be really freaking cool, but she's just, like, boring with what they're doing with her so far, and it's not... It could be the exact same thing if it was a guy and they were doing all the same shit with him. It's not the fact that
yes.
she's a woman. Yeah. Well, but. I mean, she's Luke without the turmoil is all she is, you know.
Basically. I mean, I guess she has turmoil about who her parents are, but
Yeah, but yeah. It's pretty minimal. I mean, there's just...
She's not even conflicted about that, about her parents or anything. She's just like...
Yeah, she kind of was.
Yeah, she. I mean, barely. She kind of just wants to know who they are more than anything. It's not so much, you know, I don't know. I mean,
they're going to retcon it, though. They're going to retcon so much stuff in the ninth one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, like, with that, they can do it easy. It's just like, oh, well, Kylo lied to you.
From a different point of view.
Yeah, exactly. So
ironic.
I mean, there's so much stuff in that movie that they can, yeah, retcon fairly easily. So it'll be interesting to see how much they do.
Do you think Leia is going to die off screen, or she'll just lose the will to live?
I gotta think she's gonna like die off screen. Like it'll happen between Jedi and
be like,
the next movie, and there'll be like a funeral or something. Maybe I don't know.
They'll skip 10 years. It's gonna jump quite a ways into the future, I bet.
Yeah.
And then there'll just be a throwaway line like, "And since we lost General Leia, you know, it's been even worse." Oh, I'm sorry, General Organa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the thing is, I can say one more thing. It's definitely sexist, so just I'm going to warn you. But Disney was always just for, like, little kids and girls, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And they're like, let's get the boys, too. So they bought Marvel and Star Wars.
Yep.
And so then if you have Star Wars kind of really pushing the female thing, which is fine, but it's like, didn't you buy this to get the little boys? And you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It would be like if someone bought Mattel and then turned Barbie into G.I. Joe and then wondered why no one wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of just making something new. But
yes. Again, just leave the politics out. You know, give us... Don't just write male characters and cast a woman. Like, write actual strong female characters. Yep. Not men cast as women, which is usually what they do.
But it's like, and they actually did that in Solo. You know, like Emilia Clarke's character, like she's a good, strong female character, and
now
she's
you
like
hate the robot.
Out.
I know you hate the robot, but the robot, like, yeah.
Eh. But yeah, but like her character, she's like a good, strong, like multi-dimensional character. Like, there's more to her. You know, like when you get to the end of the movie, you're like, okay, you know, there's more to her. I want to see where this goes. Like, what's she going to do next and all that?
They take it too literal. It's like strong female character means she has to beat everyone up. It's like,
that's not the case at all. Yeah.
No, it. Yeah, I mean, she didn't do a lot of that. I mean, I think she beats up like one person and shoots some people, and you know, she doesn't turn into like a backflipping ninja.
Yeah, she kills the villain or whatever. But
yeah,
it's. Well, it's like in the movie, you know, the older movies, like, it's not like, I mean, Leia shot some stormtroopers and stuff, but, you know, she wasn't, like, primarily an ass-kicker. She was often, like, the voice of reason, you know, more, like, thinking about things and trying to, I don't know, be smart about things when the guys were kind of, like, just running around, like, being fools.
Leia never felt forced.
Yeah, I mean, she was great. She was just a good, strong character that played with, you know, an archetype of a princess and
it subverted your expectations.
Yeah, in the good way. That's why people love Leia. You know, they don't love her because it's like, oh, she's the princess, you know, that needs to be rescued. They love her because she does kick ass and she's, you know, a strong woman.
Yeah.
And that makes her memorable. So
even though I would argue that the original, the Leia in the new movies is not the same character. It's just old Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all the spunk is gone.
Yep.
Well, I'm sure we'll be labeled by Disney and Lucasfilm as sexist basement dwellers now.
Yep, Rian Johnson will weigh in.
Oh, God.
Let us know how wrong we are. That dude's a freaking tool. I know that if we went back in time, there'd be a podcast after they announced he was going to do it where I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool. You know, they need to let the looper guy cut loose. It's like, guess what? I was 100% wrong.
See, unlike Disney, you can admit you were wrong.
Yeah, I was so very, very wrong. I still don't wish I could get in a time machine or go to some alternate universe where they let Matthew Vaughn make episode 7.
Yes.
I still think that one, I don't think I'd be wrong on.
Oh, God, that would have been amazing.
Because he did basically with X-Men First Class what they needed to do with Force Awakens. You know, they needed to do a soft reboot in continuity.
And and Kingsman was like a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. There was like an evil stepfather, and there was a princess, for crying out loud. And it was, you know, like the kid from the streets, and he comes up, and it's,
And he did Stardust, which was, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've said this in previous topics, but, you know, Lucas understood archetypes. He understood monomyth, you know, and he just borrowed a bunch of stuff from Flash Gordon. But he kind of understood, you know, the kind of characters people want.
He knew how to write stories.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to make actors say the right words or make people act.
Well, I think if you look at the story,
but the stories
of the prequels, I think the story of the prequels is better than any of the other Star Wars stories, because from beginning to end, he knew exactly what he was going to do. You know, it's about the fall of the Empire and the rise of Darth Vader.
All the Republic.
Republic.
Oh, yeah. But it was all a cohesive whole. And, like, these new movies, like, who the hell knows what's going to happen in the next Star Wars movie? And
I think I said this a couple podcasts ago, and the problem is there's not one person manning the helm on these movies to make sure that they are in the same universe.
That's why what I said the other day was, I was like, they need to fire Kathleen Kennedy and bring George Lucas back and put him in charge.
Well,
and it's like, because he's like the big picture guy, and he knows how to do production, so he could help with like figuring out the stories and being that Kevin Feige type guy that Marvel has. But then let other people write the scripts and direct the movies, you know, like flesh out his ideas, because he's the big picture story guy. Like, he's really good at that stuff. And
is Kevin Feige even like, is he the head of Marvel? Oh, he's the president of Marvel Studios. Okay.
Yeah, they used to
Jesus
have that.
Christ, he's only like 2 years older than me. What have I been doing with my life?
Yeah, he's the guy where they used to have that like Marvel Creative Committee, and then they like got rid of that, like, I don't know what that was, like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and basically put him in charge, and things just got a lot steadier after that. Like, they had some kind of misfires. Not huge. I mean, they still did all right and everything, but by Marvel standards, they had some misfires. Like Iron Man 3 and Thor Dark World and stuff like that. And,
hey, Iron Man 3 was great.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a movie that pissed off a lot of fans.
Yeah, it was kind of like The Last Jedi of Marvel.
So,
although it was a lot better than The Last Jedi.
Yeah. But yeah, they need a Kevin Feige type to be the one overseeing and making sure this stuff kind of fits into the big picture. But right now, there's just zero big picture. I mean, that's like obvious.
Do you think Lucas would come back?
No, I don't think he would. No. But it would be really hilarious if they did that. And if he did come back.
I'm not saying
you will beg for my return by the end.
And I'm not saying if Disney would do that. What I'm saying is, if he was given the opportunity, do you think?
No, I 100% understood what you said, and I said no. Okay. I don't think he would.
No, he won't come back.
But it's like
he also called Disney white slavers. So there's that.
He does have that going.
He got a shit ton of money from them.
Yeah. But it would be interesting, because there's all these people that love to shit on Lucas nowadays, and it'd just be fun to see them eat crow if they did that.
They kind of already have, because...
Yeah, I think they have, because, yeah. It's,
I think, as much as I love Red Letter Media, I think they did foster a lot of the prequel hate.
Like, yes.
They kind of brought it to a new level, and yeah, they did talk about how the movies were bad in ways you didn't realize, but there were good elements in it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of like when we talked about Terminator 3, it's a movie everyone likes to dump on the internet. But it's underappreciated, and then look at the shit Terminators we've gotten since then.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you don't know how good you have it until it's gone.
That was funny. The other day we said something like that. It's like, maybe Solo will be the Terminator 3 of the Disney Star Wars movies, and it kind of is, actually.
Yeah.
There was a video from Red Letter Media before, like, because they got to see, like, the premiere or whatever it was. And, like, they were subtly shitting on it and, like, saying that it wasn't going to be good, really. And I'm like, I mean, that kind of, in my opinion, that kind of discredits them, because it's just like, the Solo was actually a pretty good movie.
For Han Solo? Are you talking about their Shill video? Geek Squad?
Yeah.
That's like a parody.
Okay.
What is actually,
I don't watch a lot of their stuff, but I watched that one, and yeah.
They had an amazingly funny video last summer where they predicted everything they thought would happen in the Han Solo movie. So I mostly wanted to see how close they got. And actually, it wasn't as dumb as what they thought it would be.
So did they have the brass to dissect Last Jedi, or are they part of the Shill Brigade that thinks...
No, they're not in the Shill Brigade. They don't get invited to premieres, so they don't bother sucking up.
Oh, nice.
So, like, pretty much in every review since The Last Jedi, they throw in, oh, well, that movie just subverted your expectations. So. But there was, like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, Jenny Nicholson. You know, she's one of the few internet reviewers who hated Rogue One, so I respect her.
Okay.
But she got invited to The Last Jedi premiere, and then, like, oh, lo and behold, she loves it.
Mm.
So that's the Kool-Aid. That's how they do it.
They're probably like, you will not get a ticket. Episode 9.
Unless you
say good things.
Or you can pay $8 and just go to the movie theater.
Oh, but if you're a YouTuber, you know, you get to see the movie 2 weeks early, so that'll give you a leg up on your competition.
Yep.
Oh, that's how it works. So, you want to talk about some other topics briefly?
Sure.
So, I guess we're talking about Marvel a couple times. So, Jones and I have both now also seen Infinity War.
Yes.
A month after everyone else.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I haven't seen it, but I don't care about spoilers. I do like all the Thanos memes. I do enjoy those.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, I've watched Marvel movies. I'm kind of tired of them, but I watched Thor and Black Panther to get caught up, and then I went to see Infinity War, like last week, I think it was.
And I saw it yesterday, and to me it was kind of like a bit of a breath of fresh air for the Marvel movies, because it like felt like it had real stakes for a change, which they rarely ever do. It just moved really well.
It didn't feel like it was 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, and it... I don't know, it was just, like, kind of compelling. Like, a lot of the time, you're just kind of like, well, I'm not quite sure where this is going to go next, which was, again, refreshing.
It separated the people into different stories so that it didn't get too confusing.
Yep, yeah.
Everyone was, like, kind of compartmentalized. Yes, that's the word.
Yeah, because you had the little Thor group that they were off trying to get, like, this new weapon forged, and you had the...
From a giant dwarf.
Yes, played by Peter Dinklage, and...
Yep.
it was good, and, like, Thanos was, you know, probably the best villain they've had other than Loki, like...
Does Michael Keaton in Spider-Man Homecoming count?
He counts as a villain. I didn't think he was particularly amazing, though, but...
I thought he was good, because he was Michael Keaton.
And what's with the Michael Keaton crush? Somebody needs to explain this, because I see people like, oh my god, Michael Keaton all the time. It's like, yes, he played Batman like 30 years ago, and he's a decent actor. Is that really it? Is it just because he was Batman 30 years ago that people like love him forever?
I like him. I mean, I don't have a crush on him, but I mean...
I think he's a fine enough actor. It's just I see people online that are like, oh my god, they should do Dark Knight Returns and then have Michael Keaton come back and play Batman. That would be the most amazing thing
ever.
Well,
I mean, he's my favorite Batman because he was in the best Batman, which was Batman.
False.
Whatever. Oh, yeah. By the way, Hollywood, make a proper transfer of Batman, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, they should get on that. I do agree with that. Do a proper restore and print of that. But
I think it was on Netflix, and it still has like the gate shutter from. So it's the transfer is not very good. You know, like when you can see like the text shuttering, you know, because of the film going through the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In like, you know, in like the opening credits, it's, you can still see that.
So did they like project it up and then put a digital camera up and just?
That's exactly how they. That's exactly how they did copies back in the day. It's called telecine when they do that.
Yep. But yeah, they
anyway.
Yeah, like in Infinity War, and it kind of ties into that other topic I had about internet spoilers or just maybe internet knowledge kind of hampering the film-going experience. So, like, Infinity War has all sorts of shit, you know, going down, and it's the culmination of 10 years of these movies, and blah, 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 blah. And so there's, like, some characters that die and whatever during this big event that happens at the end when Thanos, you know, finally assembles the Infinity Gauntlet or whatever, and he basically like wipes out half of people in existence or whatever. And so then you see a whole bunch of like the heroes just like turn to ash essentially.
But yeah, every other Avenger basically.
Yeah, and it keeps, you know, this goes on for a bit, and you know, it's, it should have like this massive impact. And when it first starts happening, it does kind of have an impact, because you see like Winter Soldier is the first one, I think, that you see it happen to, and there's a couple others. But then it's like, oh, Black Panther just disappeared. It's like, well, I know they're making another Black Panther movie. And then you see like Spider-Man disappear. It's like, well, I know, I think they're even currently filming that one. the next Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's just going to get undone somehow.
So it like, it lessens the impact of that moment, because you know, like, oh, these other movies are in the pipeline already, and so you're like, well, I know that this isn't permanent. Like, maybe it will be for some characters in the movie, but a lot of them, you know, they're gonna end up coming back somehow, whether it's through some time travel shit or who knows what. But it's like, you know, stuff like that kind of hampers the movie, unfortunately. And
well, of course, if you think about it, like, the average person in the theater doesn't read all the movie news like we do, so they're probably like, oh, Spider-Man's dead. Yeah. And they'll see, yeah, and they're not going to read about the behind-the-scenes productions. The next thing they'll see is Avengers 2 or Avengers 4 next year,
yeah,
when Spider-Man comes back, and then he'll be alive in time for his next standalone movie, which is probably like 2020 or something.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's a valid point for sure. And I mean, I heard about that, you know, where like kids saw the movie and they were like crying and stuff, you know, because
good,
like some characters they liked. And yeah, it was like good, you know, and their parents had to like console them and be like, oh, it's going to be okay, you know, don't worry, good, or whatever. And
that's good, but because I'm still pissed at Toy Story 3 not ending in the dump.
Yep, when they're going into that incinerator, that would have been so freaking epic. Yep.
Yep.
But, well, and like in this movie, like there's that part, and it's before the whole turning to ash thing happens. It's like there's this big fight with Thanos, you know, and it's like Iron Man and Star-Lord and all these characters are like fighting him. And Iron Man gets like this freaking blade like shoved right through him, and you're like, oh, holy shit, he might buy it here. And it was like, genuinely, I didn't know, you know. But then like Doctor Strange, like, vanishes, whatever, saves him somehow, whatever, and so he ends up healed, and you know, he gets to go off to the next movie. But like stuff like that's good, because like I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, at that point there's still like real stakes in the movie, everything's going along, and you're just kind of like, holy shit, and that happens, and it's like, Iron Man might actually die here, because you've seen like Gamora and Loki die earlier on. And,
yep.
But then when you see that whole Ash scene happen, and just based on some of the characters, you're just, I mean, even if you don't know those movies are coming, I mean, any rational person, I would think, I mean, kids aside, you know, they're not going to grasp all this stuff, but any rational adult is going to sit there and see like Spider-Man turn to Ash and be like, well, that ain't gonna stick, because he's worth way too much money, and they only did one. And they only did like one movie with him, you know, so far. So it's like, it just kind of lessens it a little, unfortunately. But I mean, still, it was quite a good movie. It's one of like the most complete Marvel movies. I would definitely put it in the upper tier. So yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone's already seen it, but I would also recommend it.
Yeah. I actually want to see the next one. You know, like when that one comes out, I will probably go like opening weekend to see it. So.
But you won't be able to go see Solo 2, A Solo Story.
Yep. Solo will truly be Solo, apparently.
Ah, but you know what? If this helps kill, like, Obi-Wan and Boba Fett and all these other side stories, I'm all for it. They need to pick a different era, like the Old Republic or something.
Yep. They need to just do their own thing. You know, so it's like, if they don't do Old Republic like they should have done from the very beginning, it's like, then just do something like brand new, but don't let fucking Rian Johnson do it. Because he doesn't have a, clue.
I guarantee he does not get his trilogy.
I bet that gets, like, shut right down really fast.
Yep, yep.
Game of Thrones guys might get theirs, but...
Well, they have two people working on two trilogies. Like, when are they going to release these movies? It's like, they're competing. They're not going to make, you know, two subsequent trilogies.
Yeah, it's a bake-off, basically, so...
Yep.
And I think Johnson's fallen behind at this point.
I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that, you know, massive damage was done by Last Jedi, and someone has to pay.
Yeah, so do you think Bob Iger's going to be walking into Lucasfilm on Tuesday morning to have some discussions with people?
Honestly? Oh, God.
I'm not saying they're going to, like, fire anybody, but, like, you know, some serious discussions are going to be going on this week, I'm sure.
Oh, it'll be called a reorganization. Yeah, so... I could see a reorganization of Lucasfilm being announced probably, I don't know...
3 weeks.
Months. Few months, probably.
Yeah, I would say probably over the summer.
Like, it's kind of like when Justice League came out, like, after that, DC reorganized, they put somebody else in charge, like, they shifted Geoff Johns into a different role, like, he's still kind of like a creative consultant or something, but he definitely got, like, pushed to the side and, like, a couple other people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably going to be something similar.
It'd be interesting, like, now that it's not successful, maybe we'll actually find out what happened behind the scenes, because as long as the movie's successful, nobody cares. Like, nobody cares how big of an asshole James Cameron was making Titanic, because the movie made a shitload of money.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the failures that get scrutinized.
Yeah, there could be...
And if you think about it, like, I mean... They shot the movie twice, and I think part of the reason it was dark and also like mostly mediums and close-ups, I don't know if you noticed that, but there weren't a lot of wide shots in it.
Yeah.
I think they were probably trying to save as much money as possible when they reshot it.
Oh, so they set up the minimal amount of set they needed?
And well, yeah, CGI, I mean, and things like that.
Yeah.
Like they can...
Yeah, I mean, like, if you... Less light means you can have less detail.
Yeah.
I mean, think about, like, a Ridley Scott movie. Like, they're always really well lit, so you can see all the detail.
Yeah.
And I actually liked it low, though, because how dark it was.
Yeah, I had trouble seeing some of it. Well, anyway, I guess my point is, the budget of that movie's no way it's not $300 million. I mean, just like Justice League is probably even worse than that.
Yeah.
And then you throw in, like, the huge amount of advertising that this movie's had, and you're probably looking at least $400 million. Which means it needs about 800 worldwide, which is actually seeming pretty unlikely. So it could lose money. It could be the first one where they actually have to write it off, write it down.
I bet it doesn't even make half a billion.
500 million?
Yeah, I bet it doesn't even do that.
Oh, I think...
I mean, look at how it's tanking internationally. Like, the only big market that it's come out in is... it hasn't come out in is Japan. Like, China, it fell on its face. It made like 10 million in China for the opening weekend. It's just, that's like just dog shit. It made what, 65 million total internationally?
You know, here's a thought. Maybe the backlash of Last Jedi is even worse than they realized.
Yeah.
You know, because think about it. Like, they like to say vocal minority, which also sounds, it's a very political thing to say. Mm-hmm. You know, minimize your opposition. But for every person who goes online and makes a bitchy YouTube video or a bitchy post, there's probably three other people that saw the movie and were just like, meh, and then just went home.
Yep.
I would say, you know, more than three. It's probably like 20. Just went home. Didn't do anything.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm surprised at how much it fell off. And so I think... Yeah, the backlash, it could just be like a normal people too. I mean, because, you know, Last Jedi made a lot of money, though, but it's, I don't know.
Still underperformed, though, by what they were expecting.
Yeah. Also, maybe... well, you know what? It's going to be discussed, and, you know, I think the proximity to the other movie was, you know, it should have been, they should have waited at least a year.
Yeah, it should have came out in, like, fall.
I still don't...
Right, but Disney's got, like, four movies coming out this holiday season, so there's nowhere to put it.
I still don't think that was as big of a factor. I mean, it's certainly a factor that knocked it down a little bit, but to make it do this big of a nosedive, that's not it. Because if it has Star Wars on it, and it's good, it doesn't even have to be that great, actually, but it's just, like, entertaining. It's like, people will turn out for the goddamn thing. But it's like if Last Jedi had been as good as they want you to believe it was, people would have turned out for this movie. It'd be like, oh, another Star Wars movie. I'll go check that out. You know? But, yeah, I think the Last Jedi effect is the most prominent factor in this. I mean, there's other things. You obviously had competition from, like, Deadpool and Avengers and stuff, you know, that would knock it down a bit, but nothing like this. I mean, it's like, it didn't even make, I mean, $100 million should be, like, a huge opening, you know, but it's kind of trivial nowadays for these big movies, and it's not even doing that. You know, like,
in an age of 15, even when they were talking about, you know, oh, it's going to open at like 170. It's like an age of $15 movie tickets. Like, that's really nothing anymore. It's not as impressive as it was, like, when Spider-Man was the first movie to break 100.
Yeah, that was, like, insane when that happened. It was like, what happened? Like,
yeah. And,
and the thing is, like, they were thinking, oh, like, they're projecting, what was that, 3-4 weeks ago, $170 million opening. And it made...
Where were they getting that number
from? It made, like, half that. You know? It's like... Ugh. Yeah, that's not good, so...
All right. Well, anything else you guys want to cover for the rest of this podcast? I think we should probably wrap it up pretty soon.
We only talked about two movies.
God of War at all, a lot about briefly.
Oh, yes, I finished God of War. I just think our podcast run too long. But, okay, yes.
God of Dad.
Just keep it under an hour and a half. We'll be fine.
I finished Dad of War.
Is it the game of games?
I did not think so. I don't know what is with all the hyperbole with critics these days. It's good. I would say I like the originals better.
Okay.
I think maybe like a bunch of millennials who have kids now, were probably I get maybe if I had a kid I would care more because it's like Kratos is a dad or something and he's got a kid.
Yeah.
How many gods do you kill in this game?
You don't kill that many. You kill. Let's see. You kill
to hunt down Odin.
Nope, you don't fight Odin. You don't fight Thor. You don't fight Loki, but there's a reason for that. Thor has two kids. You kill one of them, or maybe it's two of them. I can't remember. And then you kill Thor's brother, Balder.
Does he have a gate?
No. And I don't know. It reminded me a lot of Uncharted 4, where they clearly wanted to make a movie instead of a game.
Mm.
And like, you're always, you and your son are always talking. Like, the amount of dialogue in this game is insane. And then like, then there's a, you chop off this guy's head, and it's like, kind of like your guide, and he talks, and I don't know.
Well, I heard about also, that. Yeah, like the disembodied head that you'd towed around.
Yeah.
With.
Yeah. So I will say, though, that, like, you know, playing God of War and then watching Thor Ragnarok, it really filled in my Norse mythology. So that's pretty cool. That helped me understand Thor Ragnarok a little bit more. I think there's like more stuff I can do. It has that thing. Like, did either of you play Rise of the Tomb Raider?
Yes.
I did.
Yeah.
So where they kind of make it like you can go do. They have like these kind of like little mini open worlds you can walk around in.
Yeah.
It's got that kind of stuff, and I don't really like that. It's like either make a linear game or make an open world game. Don't try to have it both ways. And I don't know. I would definitely say it's overrated. I don't understand where this game of a generation stuff is coming from.
I watch people play this game, and it looks very boring.
Yeah, I mean, the combat...
Like, I think there's like three different enemies over like the...
Yeah, there's not that many different enemy types. And most of them are just like, you know, draggers, or like basically like reanimated humans. And there's like so many trolls. Like there's this troll enemy that attacks you with like a piece of stone, and like you fight a reskin version of that thing probably like, oh god, 10 times?
Yeah, and like even the dialogue though is like boring. And the kid just not... I don't know. I just like... I wish the kid died. It's like...
I'm surprised he didn't.
It's like Jones' versions of the robot and Solo.
Yes, yeah.
I'm like, I really want this kid to die so then like Kratos can actually start fucking shit up.
Well, the kid gets even more annoying in one part because basically he finds out that he's a demigod and then he starts becoming all cocky.
Of course. Oh. Of course, that's a thing.
So he goes from being like... It's also kind of jarring because he's basically like... Kratos is like 1800s dad, but then his kid is like 1950s kid.
Yeah.
And then he turns into like whiny 90s emo kid. He's like, I'm a god. I can do whatever I want. And then Kratos is like, no, boy.
I'll kill you if you turn into a god.
Yeah. But then at the end, there's a twist. Do you want to hear the twist?
Sure. I mean, we're already spoiling it up.
So they find out that the dead mother was actually a giant, even though she was normal-sized. I'm not sure how that works.
Midget giant.
Yeah. Kind of like a giant midget, like in Infinity War. Anyway, so Kratos says... Your name, Atreus. Your mother wanted to give you a different name. And the kid's like, what was it? Loki. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, dirty.
It was like that scene, that stupid scene in the Fantastic Beast trailer today, where it's like, what do you think about this? Dumbledore. Yeah. It was so pandering. So I would say God of War is worth playing, but it didn't feel epic at all. Yeah. I mean, there's a few flashes of it, but I don't know.
The thing that bugs me about it is like...
The over-the-shoulder camera sucks because it has to have these pointers to say, hey, there's a bad guy behind you or to your left. It's like, well, you can just pull the camera back and I could see that like in the old games, and That kind of sucked. I felt like you were the camera was one of the greatest enemies Kratos had to face.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, when before you said that like from what you had said before was basically it's like Gears of War with an axe or whatever. And
yes, that's exactly how it plays.
And it's like, for me, like God of War, maybe this is kind of like me just not wanting change with some things, but it's like God of War, part of what made it cool was the combat and having the camera pulled back. And the camera was out of your control, like it would move around to show you the things you needed to see, and yes, you had like this really dynamic combat, which was like really cool. And so that when I saw that stuff and when you said that about the game, those are like negatives to me. Like, well, that's not really God of War then.
The camera is always locked over your shoulder. It's the same as it's like Gears of War. It's the same perspective, like over the shoulder.
Yeah.
Because even when like God of War came out in 2005, like the camera being pulled that far back from the main character was actually kind of novel. Because, you know, there was everything else was like, you know, a third person, you know, action game like Tomb Raider or Grand Theft Auto.
The God of War, at least the original, it reminded me a lot of Golden Axe, how it plays. Where, like, the camera is so far pulled back and so you can see everything. When the first God of War came out, like, I just remember like playing that game and being like, this is like the most badass thing I've ever played.
Yes, it made you feel like a badass.
Yeah, yep.
And then like, I'm watching these streams and I'm just like, this looks really lame.
Like, you feel like a badass and it's epic, You know, like you have these big fights, like you fight this Hydra and stuff like that.
Yes.
Or you're like crawling up the back of like a Titan while it's crawling up Mount Olympus, you know, like.
And then the camera like pulls back.
Yeah.
And you just see the scale of what you're doing. And well, in this one, again, it's also done all in one continuous shot. Hmm. So like if you didn't go into the menu, everything is one continuous shot, like the whole game.
Oh, wow.
And that's cool and all, but then yes, you never get the part where, you know, the camera pulls back and, you know, you see the scale of it.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes Kratos moves around in the frame like for a cutscene, but yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I guess I would say it's worth playing. I just it's
would it be worth buying a PS4 to play it?
No.
It's not worth it.
It's no Horizon Zero Dawn. Now that game was underappreciated, but
well, I think it did pretty well, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. But I mean,
Ben wanted to win Game of the Year and everything.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought it was great. I love Horizon Zero Dawn. Yeah. Game.
I've never heard anything bad about it. So
Kratos is like old now. Well, he's not that old. But then I don't know. It's like he's like, you must not become like me, son. Now help me murder 500 bad guys.
Do as I say, not as we do.
It would be like Unforgiven if Clint Eastwood took his kid with him to go shoot the whore killer or whatever it was.
Yep.
Instead of like being like, well, kill a chicken if you have to. I'm gonna leave. And then he'd be like, which one of you decorated their establishment with my friend? And then the kid's like, I'll get him, Dad! And then he like starts like with a cap gun shooting Gene Hackman.
Like, good job, son.
Misfire!
Kill the son of a bitch!
yeah. So, I think, I'm sure they're like, oh, it's going to be like our Unforgiven, and I don't know. So.
Well, maybe someday.
I also think it's kind of funny, like, everyone uses it to, like, crow about how single-player games aren't dead.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was actually... Is that actually a problem that people are worried about?
EA came out and basically said that was when they killed that game that was, like, the first-person Star Wars game, or the single-player Star Wars game. They killed that.
Amy Henning won.
Yeah, and they basically said, like, well, people don't want those games. You know, they want multiplayer and loot boxes and shit. So, you know.
Well, it's kind of true.
Kind of, but still, people will. I mean, look at God of War, like how it sold. The Tomb Raider games do well. I mean, there is a market for those as well.
I mean, I don't think Fallout 4 was a single player game, and it sold really well.
Yep. Skyrim. Grand Theft Auto has an online component.
Yeah, they did add online to that, but
I don't know. I just think people are they're worried too much about it, and they all hate EA for some reason.
Yeah.
So. what was it like? Call of Duty, what is it? Black Ops 4 isn't going to have single player.
Yep.
It's like, but you can't tell me that these companies like Activision don't have every scrap of data, and they're like, oh look, nobody cares, so why bother with that?
Yep.
Yeah, even if they don't collect the data from when you play, which I'm sure they do, but even if they didn't do that, they'd be able to just look at achievements people have unlocked.
That's what people have done online, like in response to that, and they're like, look, the campaign for Black Ops 3 had like a 7% completion rate.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
yeah. Oh, the campaign for Call of Duty World War II was kind of like horrible. Yeah.
Horrible.
It was really dumb. Hmm. Or, well, I don't know. So anyway, Dad of War. I guess I enjoyed playing it. It was kind of frustrating. Like, some of the bosses were pretty tough. I guess that's God of War for you.
Yeah.
Was it Cuphead frustrating?
Cuphead felt more fair, and it had infinitesimally more variety to its bosses.
That's true. Well, every single enemy is completely different.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I have to say about that. So, any closing thoughts on Solo? Or you guys are all going to go see Episode 9, like, opening night, right?
I'll probably wait until next week for Episode 9 so I can go and the theater will be empty.
Well, here's a question. Do you think Han Solo will hold up? Like, the word of mouth is obviously going to be more positive than...
I don't think it's going to make its money, but it's going to be one of those where people are going to say it's a good movie and you should go watch it.
Where do you think it'll end up for domestic total?
I'd say probably somewhere in the 200 to 230 range. Somewhere in there.
That's pretty bad for Star Wars.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you would think, because it seems like most people that have seen it liked it from what you see online, and, like, you know, all of us liked it. You would think it would have good word of mouth, but
I haven't talked to anyone that doesn't like it.
But the thing is, if it had good word of mouth, like, it wouldn't have fallen from Friday to Saturday, like, things like that, like, you know, because there's probably, like, fence sitters out there that are like, oh, my buddy John's going to go and, you know, take the bullet and see it. But then buddy John says, hey, it's pretty good. You know, and they're like, oh, well, shit, maybe I'll go check it out on Sunday then or whatever, you know? Like, I mean, some people will definitely turn out next weekend for it, but...
You know, what if it has more people next weekend than this weekend?
Not possible. No way in hell.
That only happens if you're James Cameron.
Yeah. If it can have a 50% hold, that would be pretty amazing, I think, at this point.
Well, actually, if you think about the Thursday night grosses, that means Friday it made like 21 million, and Saturday it made like 24, and today it made, well, estimated 23.
Yeah.
So that's not, that actually isn't a drop.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay.
The Thursday night makes it seem like more of a drop.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it somehow magically, like, pushing its way past, you know, 300 some million. Like originally, before this ever came out, I was like, I don't know if it'll make it over 300. It probably won't make it over 350, but I never imagined it wouldn't, you know, that it would be this bad. So.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way it makes it to 300. I mean,
no way.
It's good, but the thing is, it's not like it's amazing, you know? It's not like it's Titanic. Like, Titanic opened with, like, what, $25 million?
Yeah.
And then made like,
$600
million back when a movie ticket was $7.
Well, and it's like I said afterwards, you know, like, Solo is relatively good. You know, it's like after having seen The Last Jedi,
it's like... That's true.
You know, if I had seen Rogue... You know, I know you don't like Rogue One, but it's like if I had seen Rogue One right before this and then saw this next, I'd be like, you know, it was okay, probably. But having like Last Jedi happen in between, it's like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, it's pretty good. So...
No, I guess we'll see. I mean, obviously... Its box office run will be over by the time we do the next podcast, so maybe we can see how close we got.
Yeah. Yeah, because by then Incredibles 2 and Jurassic World 2 will be out, and yeah.
Do you think they're going to make a Jurassic, like, solar system, or Jurassic, like...
Galaxy?
Yeah.
I just think I think they just need more space between this. Like, Incredibles 2... is a sequel that people have wanted for years.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like projected to do like 140. Like, it could be the top animated opening of all time.
Well, and like with that one, you know, Brad Bird said forever that he wouldn't make another one until there was a story to tell. So obviously he figured out a story to tell at some point, which probably means it'll be pretty good, you know.
Hopefully.
Like, he's not just pumping something out for the sake of pumping it out, in theory.
I'd be a little concerned because Andrew Stanton left Pixar, directed a big budget movie, it flopped, went back to Pixar, made Finding Dory, it sucked.
Mm.
And Brad Bird did the exact same thing, except for he made one hit movie and then he made a flop movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we'll see. But I'm just saying, like, when they have a Star Wars movie every year, it's not special anymore. It's just like in the 90s where people stopped caring about the Disney animated movies because they made one every year. Like, there's nothing special, and they need more diversity in the kind of movies they make. Like, people will go to the movies, give us something different. And
yeah, yeah.
And Star Wars, it's always just the same goddamn story. It's like, you know, Rebels and Empire. Although there is actually almost none of the Empire in Solo.
I mean, that's what was refreshing in Solo, is it was like a small story. You know, it wasn't about like, oh, you know,
the stakes were personal.
Yeah, it's like there's not like, oh, this big, you know, like world destroying planet ship, Death Star, whatever thing floating around. You know, it's just like, oh, here, we need to, you know, I'm trying to get a ship so I can go back and rescue my girlfriend or whatever, and so I'm going to do this heist or whatever. And, you know, it's just, yeah, it's, they're personal, they're small, you know, in the big galactic sense, they're not even, like, noticeable, you know? So that was, like, refreshing about it, but unfortunately, it's, you know, being punished for another movie's sins, so...
Yeah, well, I guess they got, what do they have, like, no, they only have two more weekends before Incredibles comes out. See, Disney is making so many movies, they're competing with themselves now.
And they don't even have Fox yet, so...
Oh, God, they don't need it.
No, they don't
need
it.
All right, well, that's been a fun podcast. I guess, what did you think of Solo, A Tippy Cup Story? Let us know in the comments below.
Adios.
I think we should have a Dash Rendar movie.